Joy to be together, as Robert was saying earlier on this first Sunday of Advent, reminded of the coming of our Lord, and also His second coming, as we will see in just a moment. Let's pray one more time. God, we do thank You for this opportunity we have to open Your Word, which is truth. You are the God who speaks. Lord, speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. God's people said, amen. I'm going to read in just a moment some verses out of Hebrews chapter 12. But that particular chapter has basically two summary statements. There are 13 chapters in the book of Hebrews. And the writer is making an argument and a teaching based on the Old Testament and the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. And he gets to chapter 12, and he makes two statements that kind of summarize the entire book. So if you want just an easy summary of Hebrews, this would be it. In verses 1 and 2, he tells us to look to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Those three words capture the heart of Hebrews. We're looking to Him in His supremacy and His preeminence. And then the second phrase has to do with our thanksgiving. And he writes, be grateful that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Be grateful for a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The theme of the whole book, the sufficiency and finality of Jesus Christ and His eternal kingdom. Now, when we come to Advent, we are talking about a coming. His first advent was when He came as a babe in Bethlehem. He came as the Savior. A king has been born. But Advent also reminds us, and we dare not forget this, reminds us that there will be a second coming or a second advent. And that is when He comes again as King of glory, and His righteousness and His reign will cover the earth. Like the waters, as the prophets tell us. So today we look back to His birth, but we also look forward to that second advent and the coming again of Jesus. And Hebrews begins in this teaching of the first coming and the second coming of our Lord. This passage begins with a warning. Now, we often skip the warnings of Scripture, but they're all through there. We dare not miss the times that we're warned. And here's one of them in Hebrews 12. I'm going to just work through a few verses, Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. Verse 25 says this, see that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject Him who warns from heaven. Just keep the scripture up there. We'll go through it. Now, the first thing it says here is, do not refuse Him who is speaking. And then we're given a warning. For if they, that is Israel, if Israel did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject Him who warns from heaven. Two different revelations from God. The first one referenced here is Israel at Mount Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments. And if you go back and read about that account, it was a terrifying moment. God was shaking the mountain. Now, Moses was up there receiving the commandments. Everyone else was below, and they were terrified. They did not even want to get close to the mountain. If Israel did not escape when they refused Him, that's the warning them on earth when the mountain shook. Much less will we escape if we reject Him who warns from heaven. That's a reference to God speaking through His Son who came from heaven to earth. There's the opening warning, and it begins, do not refuse Him who is speaking. Now, is that not the problem in the world today? Just as it was in the first century, we have the same problem in the 21st century when we refuse to hear God's word. And when we reject His Son, refusing His word, rejecting His Son. And there's a warning that comes with that. I don't know if you remember this. many of you in here are old enough, some maybe not, but there used to be a commercial when I was a kid. It was by E.F. Hutton. You remember that? When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. It was have a couple of people, they're talking about the stock market, their broker and so forth, and the ups and downs, and they may be at a party or a sporting event. They could be anywhere with a lot of noise, a restaurant. And then they'd come to that part in the commercial when one of them would say, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and when they'd get to that part, everything stopped. Everybody would listen. What does E.F. Hutton have to say about this? Well, E.F. Hutton went out of business. And now they have another name. They've assumed another name when it was revived, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. That's what we are to do. That's what the writer is saying here. When God speaks, everybody listen. Listen to what he is saying. Why? It is important that we hear God's word, but not only hear, but listen to God's word because of the one who is speaking. That's why it's important. You know, we live in a world that has a lot of change going on. My grandparents would not even know some of the things, if they were still living, they would not even know some of the things that's going on now. We live in a world of change, but God's word does not change. It is relevant, as the writer of Hebrews said in the first century, as he quoted many Old Testament passages that were relevant to the first century church, that were pointing to the Lord Jesus. Even today, 2,000 years later, it is relevant to our lives as well. Listen. There's a warning when we refuse to listen to God's word. The nature of man is the same. We have our same longings as the first century man and woman, the same difficulties, the same sense of frailties and instabilities in a broken world. Therefore, hear God's word. And especially when you look back on history, at the latter part of the 1800s and the beginning of the 1900s, we were told, the philosophy of that time, we were told that science and knowledge was ushering in a new day for humanity. And if we would just listen and do this new knowledge of economics or new knowledge of science or how to run governments or so forth, if we would just listen, it would bring in a virtual utopia. Well, how did that go over the last century? Go back further still. At the time of the writing of Hebrews, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, they all had their idea. They all had their understanding, their philosophies of what could make life better. At the time of this writing, the Stoics, the Epicureans, these were philosophers of the day, helping us understand how to have a great life. Today, we have the Republicans and the Democrats. They're telling us all this, that we can have a great life. Ah, but when man's word and knowledge fails, and it always does, we have this one truth in God's word that is unshakable. It is an anchor for the soul. When the ideas of men fall, we're warned. Do not refuse the one who is speaking through his word and through his son. We hear the message of the Bible. We hear the Christian gospel. Why? Because of the one who is speaking. That's what makes it important. He is a God who speaks. There are many theories of man, of which I am not here to criticize. But God himself is speaking. In Hebrews 1, listen to this. Listen to how this letter to the church begins. These are the first two verses of Hebrews. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, the Old Testament. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And we live in these last days. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. This is what makes it urgent to hear. Because God is speaking, and he is speaking through his Son. Do not refuse his word. Do not reject his Son. This is the announcement of God. It's not just a philosophy, your best life now kind of thing. It's an announcement from God. God is doing something. He's doing something through Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul picks up on this in Galatians 4. He says this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. God is doing something. What has he done? He has sent his only Son, born of woman, born under the law, that he might righteously keep the law, that we might, through faith in him, come into the family of God as adopted sons and daughters. Those who have broken the law, Christ has come as a sufficient offering and atonement for sin. This is our gospel. Into the family of God we can come. There is one born into this world, born of woman, not just a man. Oh no. Not just one of many teachers. No. The eternal divine Son of God. That's Advent. He has been born into this world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. The glory, the magnificence of the person of Jesus of Nazareth. This season and every season, we are reminded of this. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He's the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 1 again. God speaks through his Son. And so this letter was written to convince these Hebrew Christians in the first century not to turn back to the old covenant of Judaism, but to look to Jesus, who offers in his person an unshakable kingdom to be a part of. God has spoken. Do not refuse his word. Do not reject his Son. For most of us in here, I think we can say, well, I'm not going to refuse God's word and I'm not going to reject his Son. And that's probably true. But sometimes it is so easy for us just to be kind of cavalier with that. To hear, but not really listen. To have a portion, but not the full meal. I remember, this is a few months ago, I was at the gym for a little workout, and my workouts are little, by the way. And I was listening to a sermon in my ear pods, then went to the restroom, and then as I was coming out of the restroom, I came out in a panic because I thought I'd left my ear pods on the treadmill. Well, basically running to the treadmill to get my ear pods before somebody grabbed them, and the whole time they were in my ear. And I was listening to something the whole time. It is so easy to hear but not listen. Do you see the differentiation of that? We can hear but not really listen. The centrality of God's word. Just a few weeks ago, I went outside to warm up my car. Turned it on, warming it up. Come back inside, ate a little breakfast, gathered a few things before I came to the office, and I started looking for my keys in the house. Where are my keys? I was looking all over. I asked Cindy where my keys are. My keys are in the car. My car's warming up. One other one. Cindy gave me permission to tell this one. We were just not too long ago, we were at the hospital making a visit, and Cindy and I get on the elevator, and she says, she sort of starts fooling with her pocket. She says, wait a minute, Jeff, wait a minute. My mask, where's my mask? And she starts pushing buttons to try to stop the elevator. Where's my mask? It was on her face the whole time. Look, we need to listen, not just hear. The key to this life is God's word and God's Son, and it's right in front of our face. We must keep that central, preeminent. That is the message of Hebrews. Do not refuse the one who speaks through his Son, Jesus, our Lord. Verses 26 and 27. At that time, his voice shook the earth. That is the giving of the law at Sinai. His voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So there's a heavenly shaking that is coming. This phrase, yet once more indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made. That is, this creation is can be very unstable, and it shakes. It will be removed one day, and in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. That is the ultimate consummation of history, when we have a new heaven and a new earth that cannot be shaken. This is a promise that looks forward to the future. The earth and the heavens, we're told in this passage, will shake. This is a cosmic phenomenon. This is a decisive intervention of God. His first advent at Bethlehem, oh, it came so quiet in the night, a little baby. But his second advent will be a cosmic phenomenon that is decisive, a divinely decisive moment, the end of time. And that's what he's speaking about here. If you think, he's saying this, if you think that it was an awesome, nerve-wracking moment at Sinai when the law was given, you just wait for what's coming. That's what he's saying. And man, humanity, in our fallenness, we are always looking for security in this and stability and durability in a world that doesn't last, in a place where things can be shaken. Has your life been shaken recently? Do you have moments, of just personal shaking, when the world shakes, in our own personal history that happens? And throughout history, man has always sought security. God created the world, and shortly after, we have Adam and Eve and their sin. They decided to live independent of God, and instantly comes insecurity and fear into the world. Their son, Cain, insecure and fearful, kills his own brother. Violence comes into the world, and then he begins to build cities. That is, to have some kind of sense of stability in the world. Cain. And then the flood, and all that man has made, shaken, gone. And then the Tower of Babel, when men and women come together as one, and they say, we will rule not only the earth, but the heavens. And that came to nothing. And then the great cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities. These are powerful cities and a refuge for humanity. Disappear in an instant. That's how this world can shake. And the prophets even tell the story of Israel. They refused his word, and Israel boasted in their independence, even from God, and they were carried away into captivity. The shaking goes on and on. And this letter, Hebrews, was written before A.D. 70. And A.D. 70 is an important date because it was then that General Titus Vespasian marched into Jerusalem, and he annihilated Jerusalem. And he crushed the temple. And there has not been another sacrifice since A.D. 70 of an animal in worship because of that. Even Jerusalem would shake. The Jewish system would shake. Its foundations toppled. So the writer of Hebrews goes on to say this, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." We have no abiding city here, but we have an unshakable city that is to come. This is a foreshadowing, the shaking of Jerusalem, all these other moments of shaking. They're a foreshadowing of the coming universal shaking and the bringing in of the kingdom of God. Jesus looked to the future when he said, "As in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the end." Peter writes of the future as well. All of the apostles did. What is the explanation for all this shaking? Well, it is God doing something himself. On the mountain, the earth shakes, and in the heavens. Why does he shake? Why this cataclysmic ending? Well, science tells us that it's coming. We know the heat death of the earth and the universe. Well, that's coming. We know that by science. But the Bible tells us why. It says, because our God is a consuming fire. And eventually all will be burned up and this new heaven and new earth will come. When Christ comes again, his second advent. Our God is a consuming fire. Verse 29. He is not to be trifled with. He is love. Say amen. He is love. Amen. But he is also a consuming fire. He is holy. And nothing opposed to him will last. Do not refuse his word. Do not reject his son. Adam and Eve, all that oppose him will topple. Israel, even Israel itself, there is no permanence in opposing God. The Apostle Paul. So we do not lose heart. Listen to the encouraging word. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and they can shake. The things that are unseen are eternal. That's why the Lord Jesus, who is the King, spoke to Pontius Pilate just before his crucifixion of a kingdom that is not of this world. It's a different kind of kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom in which he reigns supreme over the hearts and lives of individuals, of marriages, of homes, of families, of churches. He is to reign supreme, his kingdom. But one day, his kingdom will be in visible form. It will be in a visible form that is glorified, a new heaven and a new earth. That's what he's writing about here. He has come. Rejoice in him. He is coming again. And then finally, he puts it this way, verses 28 and 29. You see it here. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This kingdom that is in the person of Jesus Christ through faith in him. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And notice the words here. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom like this, because we don't earn it. We receive it by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This is our gospel. The King has come. He went to a cross. He shed his blood for our sins. His victory over sin was proven in his resurrection. And when we place our faith in him, we enter into this unshakable kingdom of God. But we see him, Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that we, by the grace of God, might come into this kingdom as he tastes death for everyone. He's the mediator of a new covenant. Hebrews 12, he is the mediator of a new covenant through his blood, which speaks a better word. On November the 17th, just a few weeks ago, there was an earthquake in northeast Arkansas. Did y'all hear about that? Well, my brother was there. He was hunting in northeast Arkansas when this thing hit. And he was texting us. We had a group text going. And my dad said, "Did you feel it?" And let me quote him. He said, "I felt it big time, big time." And then later he would quote, later he would say, "It probably would have killed an ordinary man." But that's just my brother. He's not an ordinary man. Everything shakes. Everything shakes. Here is the good news. We can enter into an unshakable kingdom. Be grateful for that through Jesus Christ in the midst of the shaking. In the midst of the rubble and destruction of sin in this world, we are part of a kingdom that endures forever. He died, he was raised, and through faith, this kingdom is ours. One other verse I want to read to you. This is Hebrews 4. Since then, we have a great high priest. Listen. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. We are told, church, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast this faith. The voice of God calls us to the things that matter, to the things that are lasting and unshakable. He calls us to his kingdom. Where can I find security and stability amidst the shaking of this world? It is in the person of Jesus Christ, only in Christ, and only through the kingdom's King, our Lord Jesus. He says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How does he give you rest? Because of this confession, faith we hold to, he gives us rest in his own person. The King, the unshakable kingdom. That is Advent. That is the second Advent. And we're a part of that grand story, this divine movement of God in history and for an eternity. Let's pray together.